Australia's third longest-serving Prime Minister and the longest-serving Labor Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, won four elections in a row. Associate Professor of Australian Politics Hayden Manning at Flinders University says that kind of political longevity from 1983 to 1991 is remarkable.
He established himself with a command of his party, but particularly he really pushed the left wing of his party behind himself and Paul Keating. And the net result was a period of electoral victories that allowed Hawke, alongside Keating, to establish probably and arguably the most reformist government we've seen in our federation since 1901. So that's how I see significance. It's not just pointing to all the significant reforms, it's noting that they were able to achieve them because they kept winning elections. And Hawke disciplined his party, which was no easy feat, to make that end possible.
The only Australian Prime Minister to come from South Australia, Bob Hawke, was born in Bordertown on December 9, 1929. He was the only surviving son of a church minister and a school teacher. His older brother died from meningitis in 1939, but it was not until a motorcycle accident nearly killed him at the age of 17 that he felt the driving desire to make the most of his life. Troy Bramston is authoring a biography on Bob Hawke and has interviewed him 15 times over the years. He told Sky News from early on, Hawke knew he was destined to be Prime Minister.
He had a sense of destiny. You know, his parents loved him, they showered him with love, and he believed that he had a guiding hand that was leading him towards the Prime Ministership. That's how he saw his life.
Hawke developed his leadership style of consensus during his time as leader of the Australian Council of Trade Unions. Professor Clementine McIntyre from Adelaide University's Department of Politics says this skill allowed him to pass a raft of significant economic reforms, including floating the Australian dollar, deregulating the economy, and privatising government enterprises, including the Commonwealth Bank.
The union background was a key part of that. So for many, many years as a negotiator, as a settler of industrial disputes, he had a lot of experience in coming to the table and finding a consensus and finding a resolution to problems. And those that sat in the cabinet with him talk about the consensual nature of his cabinet style, not dictatorial in any sense, but finding a consensus, arguing a case, considering the benefits and the problems with it, and then having made a decision. Pursuing it with some vigour.
His leadership style allowed him to win vital preference votes from minor parties in 1987 and 1990, based on his environmental policies, which included stopping the Franklin Dam in Tasmania, saving the Dane Tree in Queensland, and prohibiting mining in Antarctica. However, Professor McIntyre says he does not agree with the appraisal from former Liberal Prime Minister Tony Abbott that Hawke had a Labor heart, but a Liberal head.
I see the point Tony Abbott is making in terms of the transformative nature of the economic relationships, but Hawke did it in a way that was entirely consistent with the expectations you would have of a Labor Prime Minister, pursuing what he saw was the benefit for the whole of the economy and the whole of the working population of Australia. I don't think anyone would seriously categorise that as Liberal policies in disguise.
On the social policy agenda, Hawke reintroduced universal healthcare through the Medicare system. Professor Manning says he was in touch with the needs of Australians.
It's partly his deeper background in his childhood. He came from a very religious family, and his father was a preacher and very caring as a consequence for poorer people. But his experience as a trade union leader throughout the 60s and 70s, I would argue, is what really made Hawke a leader who understood how people needed to be given opportunity. And if health was bad, but you couldn't afford to fix your health, then you needed government to do something. And Whitlam had set up Medibank. When Whitlam fell, Medibank fell. Hawke wanted to set up Medicare, similar to Medibank, a national free health insurance scheme, and embed it and make sure it couldn't be unpicked. And that really is the point. He kept winning enough elections that by the time Labor lost office, Australians loved Medicare. There was no chance that the Liberals could remove it.
On the international policy front, Hawke had a vision of Australia as a middle power with links to Asia and the United States. One of his achievements included setting up the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum in 1989 to promote economic participation and growth in the region. Driving his urgency was a warning by Singapore's Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew that Australia risked being the poor white trash of Asia without economic and social reform. Professor Manning says Hawke had an acute awareness of the need to expand Australia's regional links.
Well, I think he had an appreciation, and this is the point about the economy, that Australia needed to open up to the world. So you needed to deregulate the financial system, invite in foreign banks. You needed to gradually work at pulling down our tariff barriers. You needed to world Australia more to our near Asian markets. And that required a shift, really, in the view of Australia having historically looked to Britain, Europe and America, to needing to balance that vision. We had to always hold on to, you know, particularly America, but we needed to balance it more with an appreciation of Asia. And his government really began that more than any previous government, and of course it continues today.
Hawke's enduring appeal as a so-called People's PM was untarnished by his willingness to share his emotions. Shedding a tear for the Tiananmen Square victims on national television and on another occasion crying over his daughter's battle with drug addiction. His enthusiastic, spontaneous reaction after Australia's triumph in the 1983 American Cup sealed the deal.
I tell you what, any boss who sacks anyone for not turning up today is a bum. You have to work a bit harder the next day to make up. It's a day for all Australians, isn't it? It's a day that brings us all together. Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
Lecturer in Australian politics, Dr. Ian Cook at Murdoch University, says Hawke's emotional vulnerability made him stand out then and since.
For me, I guess one of the things about him is that he brought sort of personality to politics, and you know, he was a big character and a big personality, and these days with the sort of the way that media's, you know, the media appearances are controlled, politicians are minded. They're just, you know, they're not allowed to sort of show that much personality and just sort of be natural and spontaneous. It's so controlled. And Hawke, you know, quite happy to sort of say things you weren't expecting, you know, people in his sort of position to talk about and be open about things. And, you know, we just don't get that openness anymore.
A record beer drinker, Hawke followed in the footsteps of John Curtin and gave up drinking during his time as Prime Minister. He was open about having affairs while married to his first wife, Hazel Hawke, and later married his biographer, Blanche Dalplougay. Professor Manning says the contradictions did nothing to tarnish his approval rating of 75%, the highest of any Prime Minister since the introduction of public opinion polls.
With brilliant individuals who have that great intellectual capacity combined with profound emotional intelligence as well, are going to throw up certain contradictions, and certainly with Hawke, today his womanising and his drinking probably would have seen him not even considered seeking pre-selection for the Labor Party, and if he had been pre-selected, he probably would have been, you know, exposed somewhere along the line for something he'd put up on Facebook or what others are putting up. So it was a different era in that regard, but great leaders, great people are often reasonably contradictory, but they get away with levels of contradiction because of the brilliant things they're able to do.
Hawke would later nominate his work on anti-apartheid in South Africa as one of his proudest achievements as Prime Minister. Professor Cook says that achievement allowed him to combine two of his passions, sports and politics. This is Biwa Kwan for SBS News.